Go ahead and turn in your Bible, if you will, over to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 this morning. Galatians 3, 1 through 9. I was thinking about that song we were just singing, and it's a really neat song, and I love it a lot. I love it when we sing it, but I was thinking about that while we were singing it. It's not a song that we're singing in adoration of the Lord. The writers of that song wrote it as a prayer over the church. And so in a sense, when they wrote that, they're praying for the church. And you know, they use scripture, but then when we're singing it, we're praying for each other, right? We're praying for each other that the Lord would do those things in our lives. So I just really thought that was neat as we're singing that. It kind of hit me. And I love that song, The Blessing. So today we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And I titled this, Finish the Same Way You've Started. I really struggled with a title to put on this, and that's not really the most important thing, but that's what we're calling it today. Finish the same way you've started. And you know, the book of Galatians is important. We know that Paul spent a lot of time there. Can we go ahead and switch to that next one there? There we go. Paul spent a lot of time with the Galatians. He started multiple churches in Galatia during his first missionary journey. And because of this, he had a very close personal relationship with the Christians there in Galatia. He had clearly shared Christ with them, and many of them had responded in faith to his message and become followers of Christ. They had found their freedom in Christ. But oh, how things change, and that sometimes happens in our lives as well. The Galatian Christians were blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ. They were beginning to... they were growing in their faith, but then there was a group of people that were beginning to influence them. They were the Judaizers. And they were people, I mean, for lack of a better term, polluted the gospel. In fact, a Judaizer taught that in order to be a Christian, you had to accept Christ. That's one thing. But then you had to do all the other things, too, related to the Mosaic law. So in order for a Christian to be truly right with God, he has to conform to the Mosaic law as well. And so it was Christ, yes, but the law as well. And so they were beginning to pollute the message of the gospel and confuse people. And so men and women who had found freedom in Christ were being pressured and persuaded to return to really the slavery of religious rules and regulations. And Paul, as Paul did often, he was quick to respond. And that's why he wrote this letter to the church there at Galatia, because he wanted them to be reminded of the truth, and his message was simple. His message was, guys, finish the same way you've started. That really was the message of this letter. Essentially, he was saying, you started with the Spirit, so the only thing you need to be guided by is the Spirit. It started with the Spirit, so continue with the Spirit. Finish the same way you've started. They started with the Spirit. They needed his guidance. And these so-called experts were leading them back into spiritual bondage. So they needed to be reminded of the truth. So let's see what Paul has to say here in this particular passage to his brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's read the scripture together. Galatians 3, 1 through 9. He starts off by saying, you foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing? In fact, was it for nothing? So then does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among your doing the works of the law, or is it by believing what you've heard? Just like Abraham, who believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed through you. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So Paul begins with a very stern question here, right off the bat, here in chapter 3. Basically, he says, who has cast a spell on you? I mean, that's what mine literally says. He didn't mince words here. He called the behavior of the Galatians foolish. He used a word there in that, calling them fools, doesn't mean that they were mentally deficient. They weren't dumb, okay? These people had brains and they could use them. Essentially what he was saying, and the word that he suggests, is they weren't using their intelligence to understand the truth. They were ignoring the truth. And so the Galatians had shifted from believing in the death and resurrection of Christ for salvation to believing that they have to obey the Mosaic law in order to be saved. And that would be the equivalent for us, guys. If we want to kind of think about it in our own context, that would be the equivalent of us believing that donating money to the poor or going to confession or being baptized as a baby or lighting candles or just being an overall good person is the deciding factor in how we go to heaven. That's what essentially we're talking about here. And then Paul asked them this very pointed question the title here and the point here is, who has cast a spell on you? And maybe your translation says, who has bewitched you or who has hypnotized you? It's all the same thing there. And in asking this question, Paul didn't necessarily want to know who had taught them the false doctrine, but why they had become so fascinated with it. Why are you getting into this? Why is this something that you're even entertaining? And who even was the person to blame in their lives for believing this? And I thought about in our lives, when we hear false things, whose fault is it that we adhere to those false things? So when we're swept into false teaching or we don't know the truth, who's to blame in that? Well, I mean, yeah, it could be poor leadership, a lack of clear doctrinal teaching, sometimes can be partly at fault. But I want us to consider something that Jesus reminded his disciples of in Matthew 10:16. When we think about being swept in with false teaching, Jesus warned his disciples, and in a sense, he's warning us. And Matthew 10:16, he said, look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus is warning us here. He's warning us here that we have to be aware of what is going on around us. We have to be aware of what is being pushed in our culture and not get caught up in the hype. Because here's the thing. Sometimes a spell has been cast on us. And what do I mean by that? Far too often we as Christians are lazy and we lack discernment when it comes to the truth. I mean, we just give in to anything that sounds good to the ear. Or we want to take the path of least resistance. You know, we don't want to get into all that stuff. And so instead of being alert like sheep watching for danger, we wander around in ignorance because we just don't know what the truth says. And so, guys, we have to be careful not to base our faith on assumptions or what the next best person is saying or what might be popular. Even within Christian circles, we have to be careful even with that. And so, careful not to base our faith on assumptions. Our faith must always be based on what? The Word of God, the truth, which is infallible. This is our standard that we go back to. And I'm sorry if something's being taught in culture that contradicts the Word of God, it is wrong. And it doesn't matter how many people believe it or how many people embrace it, if it contradicts what the Scripture teaches, it is wrong. And so we have to be very careful and be shrewd, as Jesus said, to not get caught up in all the stuff that's going on. It doesn't mean that if we disagree with somebody that we have to be unloving. It doesn't mean that we have to be hateful in our speech and things like that. But guys, we have to be people of the truth. And we have to show people the truth and the love of Jesus so that they can embrace and know the truth. And so our faith, we have to be careful to base our faith on not on assumptions, but it must be based on truth. And so, you know, as Jesus said, are we shrewd and wise, or is our faith vulnerable at the slightest challenge? Have you thought through your own faith, or at times are you susceptible to every kind of worldview that might be prevalent today in our society? Can you, in your faith and in your life, can you stand against some of these clever sounding anti-Christian arguments? Because they're very much out there. But can you stand against those? Guys, the way that we do that is to know the truth. Amen. The way we know the truth is by studying His Word and applying it to our lives. And so the truth is found in God's Word. So what do we do with all that? Okay. Paul says, who's cast a spell on you? What do we do about it? Well, we do like he says. We finish the same way we started. And he talks about that in verses 2 through 4. Paul wanted the Galatians to remember that they had accepted the true gospel, and therefore they had received what? The Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And so he's reminding them. He said, guys, did this happen because you obeyed the law? Did this happen because you obeyed some code of rules of the Mosaic law? Or because you believe the gospel that I had preached to them? And Paul reminds them of that. So listen, these were Galatian believers. That means they were mostly Gentile. And so they didn't know all these Mosaic laws. They didn't know all this stuff that had been taught in the Old Testament. And so the answer was obvious. Their salvation began by faith alone. Law-keeping had nothing to do with that. And Paul is just making a reasonable statement here to get their brains to thinking a little bit again. Because they'd been bewitched or hypnotized or had a spell cast on them. And so he was saying law-keeping didn't have anything to do with it. He says there, and clearly in verse 3, after beginning by the Spirit. That's the beginning point. For us as Christians, our salvation begins with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we come into a personal relationship with Christ, we received the Holy Spirit of God. And we receive the Holy Spirit not by the law, aka doing good things, going to church, reading the Bible. Although those are all good things, we understand we're not saved by them. So we receive the Holy Spirit not by the law, but by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And guys, once we've accepted God's forgiveness through Jesus, it's final, right? It's final. And so we don't all of a sudden have to add requirements to salvation. We don't automatically say, okay, Christ alone, and then plus I've got to do X, Y, or Z in order to be truly justified in God's eyes. We don't add to it, and we certainly don't take away from it. It is what it is. It's final. And so, we're supposed to serve the Lord and His church by doing lots of good things, but these good things we do are a result of salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're saved unto good works, not by good works. And I think we all agree with that. These things are not what gives us salvation. So what do we need to understand from all this? Okay? The beginning of the true Christian life is to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have received the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must live according to His guidance and live according to His power. But there's a great danger here, and I want you to understand something. The danger is not knowing is that we don't know that we've received the Holy Spirit. That's not the danger. The danger is when we neglect the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And guys, let me just say there are two ways to falsely understand our relationship with God. Number one, to believe that we can be saved by works. I think we all get it, and I think everyone in here understands that we're not saved by our works. So I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But then, number two, Another thing that we falsely understand our relationship with God is that we believe that we can grow by our works. That we grow by our works. And both of those are a dead end because it's not true. Let me give you an example that I found. I didn't come up with this example. I found it, and I thought it was brilliant when I was thinking about, you know, understanding the context here. So it would be, how many of you like to travel and you fly often? I mean, we probably have all flown in an airplane before. We all have traveled before. Some of us like it and some of us don't. But, you know, in our flying in a jet airplane, it would be pretty stupid for us if we were riding on an airline, to entrust our life to a jet aircraft. As we're sitting there on that plane, it would be pretty stupid for us to stick our hands outside the windows and start flapping our arms like that, right? As if anything like that would help this jet airplane go any farther or go any faster. As if our hands flapping our arms would help us stay in the air. But that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. Paul stressed that just as the Galatian believers had begun their Christian lives in the power of the Spirit, they should grow by the Spirit's power. He said, you guys can't grow by flapping your arms. You grow in the Spirit, you grow in your faith because of the Holy Spirit, not by doing the good things that you do. And so they grow by the Spirit's power, and in many ways, they had taken a step backwards when they decided, okay, these Jewish laws are pretty good, we're going to keep those as well. But the Galatians had received the Holy Spirit, but what began with the Holy Spirit turned into them neglecting the Holy Spirit. And they did this by falling prey to what the Jewish teachers told them to do, mainly in the area of circumcision. And so they began to once again follow the path of these external observances and all these rituals as a way of being justified instead of just relying on the work of the Holy Spirit. They began to rely more on their religious background than in the person of the Holy Spirit. And guys, here's the thing. You know, you and I can do a lot of things. And perhaps we do a lot of things. But are we doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we serving in our own power? Or are we serving in God's power? And guys, as I look at our culture today, not specifically at our church, but just churches in general, I'm afraid that we have a lot of powerless churches today because they serve in their own power. They look like they're doing lots of stuff. They have lots of people, lots of money, state-of-the-art facilities. But are they truly reaching the ends of the earth with the gospel? Are they truly serving in that capacity? And so we have lots of churches that are like this. They're doing lots of stuff, but are they doing it in their own power, or are they doing it in the Spirit's power? And so, just like the Galatians, these churches are taking a step backwards. And I'm afraid we're seeing this all around us, and if you read through the book of Acts, you're going to see many great things that the church did. You're going to see lots of great things that the church did, and they didn't have buildings or budgets or anything like that. But they saw a lot of people coming to know Christ. And I wonder sometimes why we don't see some of those things happen today. If you go back and read through the book of Acts and you see literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people coming to know Christ through the testimony of the believers, through basically preaching one message, the risen Christ, why do we see thousands upon thousands of people coming to know Christ? And I think if we take the scripture for what it's worth and at face value and for being the truth, there can be no other reason but that the flesh and human energy have taken the place of the Holy Spirit. That we put more of an emphasis on self than we have the Holy Spirit. In self, when we trust in self, we're going to be useless. Paul reminds us of that in other places, in other letters that he wrote. But when we trust in the Spirit, the possibilities for us as believers and as a church, I mean, we're only limited by our imagination. Because God can do so many things. And when we trust in self rather than the Spirit, we become people who give into the flesh. And guys, what happens when we give into the flesh? We become sinful. We become prideful. And say, okay, well, we talked enough about that. We talked about how our salvation starts with the Spirit. But why does God give us a Spirit? Paul talks about that in verses 5 through 9. Very basically put, he gives us his Spirit so that we'll be his witnesses. Effective witnesses. Remember what he told the guys hanging out there in Jerusalem in Acts 1:8? He says, in just a few days when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what's going to happen? What did he say? You're going to be my witnesses, right? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was dependent upon what? The Holy Spirit coming. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. And so God gives us his Spirit so that we'll be effective witnesses. Again, why was the early church so effective in evangelism? Why did tons of people respond to the gospel? It was because of the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of his church. God did miracles, lots of miracles. He did signs and wonders, and many people came to faith through the early church. It's because they relied on the Holy Spirit to help them to be effective in their witness. They tapped into his power. They didn't receive the Holy Spirit by observing the law, by keeping a set of rules. They received the Holy Spirit by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul gives the Galatians, I love this illustration he gives here. Paul gives the Galatians a very good example here. And he uses Abraham, which I think is a great illustration here. Now, for the Jews, there could hardly be a more important and influential person than Abraham, right? I think we understand that. After all, he was the father of their nation, as God had promised. And the Galatian Christians, they knew all about Abraham because many of the Christians had been converting to Judaism, and there were many Jews in Galatia to persuade the Gentiles, told them all about Abraham, that they needed to become descendants of Abraham through circumcision. So they were hearing all these things about Abraham. But Paul reminds him of this something, and Paul asked the Galatians to consider Abraham in a new light. So what did he say? I mean, leave it to Paul to put a new twist on the Judaizers' argument and expose their flaws. Listen, Abraham, if you think about it, and Paul mentions it here, Abraham did not have Moses' law. Because Moses didn't come along till, what, hundreds of years later, right? So Abraham didn't have the Mosaic law. So Paul was arguing that Abraham's belief had precedence over the Mosaic law. Look what he says again in verse 6. Read it with me. He said, just like Abraham who believed God, and it was what? Credited to him for righteousness. So the Judaizers argued for good works in order to be saved and grow spiritually. Abraham, the founder of the Jewish nation, was considered righteous not by his works, but because he believed God. Amen. That's what the scripture says. And here's the neat part. Not only are Jews and Gentiles saved by faith, but this had been God's plan from the beginning, guys. Look at verse 8 again. Man, I love this verse because it reminds us of God's purpose from the very beginning. So now Scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, remember his message to Abraham? All the nations will be blessed through you. It was through the Jews that God made the gospel for all men. And guess what? That's you and me. I don't think any of us in here are Jewish. Maybe you are, I don't know. And if you are, I think that's pretty cool. But God opened the gospel through the Jewish nations. He said, Abraham, your family is going to be a blessing among the nations. And so it was God who planned from the very beginning to justify the Gentiles' faith. And it was God who declared that to Abraham. And he was reminding them, guys, it doesn't come through a set of rules. It doesn't come from all the scripture that you know and all the times you've read the Bible. Not that those are bad. It's not bad to read the Bible. It's not bad to memorize scripture. But you can have all the knowledge in the world of scripture and attend church and do all the good things and still miss out. Still miss out because you didn't believe on the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so we have to be very careful about that. So God gives us His Spirit to be His witness. So as we kind of wrap things up here this morning, the Galatians had no other way to change but to return back to where they had gone wrong. They had to walk away from relying on their own power, which leads to sin, and return to yielding to the Holy Spirit once again. In other words, gets back to my sermon title here, they needed to finish the same way they started. What about us? Think about your life for just a second. Listen, I would implore you to continue living in the Spirit. Don't give in to the flesh. Don't give in to your own power. You might be successful in some things, but eventually you're going to fail, and it's going to be a hard fail, and it might be an embarrassing fail. That's why we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. We must start and we must continue with the Spirit of God. And if we're trusting in anything else and haven't been truly yielded to the Holy Spirit, then we need to confess it to the Lord as a sin. Because when we rely on self, that's sinful. Because we need to rely on the Spirit. And guys, here's the thing. If we're not finishing the same with the Spirit the same way we began with the Holy Spirit, then we're no different from those foolish Galatians, as Paul mentioned. We're no different from them. It's God alone that can bring real change. And guys, it's His Holy Spirit that will enable us to change. And maybe today, for some of you, it's the Holy Spirit who is calling you to put your faith and trust in Him today for your salvation. If you've never done that, I want you to know, here's how you put your faith and trust in Jesus. First of all, you admit to God you're a sinner. It's for your own benefit. God already knows. We need to come to grips with our sin and admit, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus Christ to come into my life. So admit to God you're a sinner and then ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. It's called repentance. It's not a very fun word to think about. It's not a very flashy word in society. The word repent has all these sometimes negative connotations, but that's exactly what we need to do. It means we're going one way and we need to go the other way. I'm headed this way and I'm going to change and stop, and I don't want to go that way anymore. I want to go this way toward Jesus. Repent and walk away from your sins. And then believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel. And then commit your life to Jesus. Make Him your Lord and Savior. In just a minute, Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And, you know, perhaps today you need to make that decision for the very first time in your life. While we sing the song, you can pray a simple prayer of faith and make that commitment unto the Lord. If you need help with it, I'll be right here at the front. You can come and talk to me, and I will lead you through it. Or if we need to meet sometime later this week, we can meet, and I will lead you through that. But if you don't do anything else today, and if you're not a follower of Christ, forget all that other part. This is what you need to listen to now, because this is what really matters. Not the other stuff doesn't matter, but if you can't live by the Spirit if you don't know Jesus. And so I hope that today you put your faith and trust in Jesus. If there's another decision you need to make, make that commitment to Him. But guys, let us know. You can, there's a connect card in front of you. We want you could write your information down there and the decision you made and drop it in the offering box when you leave, or you can go online and connect with us that way through our connect card online, through our website. But let us know what decision you're making so that we can help you to that next point in your life spiritually, okay? All right, let me pray. We'll let the Holy Spirit work, and Andrew's going to come. Father, we thank you today for this letter that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, it's just a good reminder to us that we should not add to the gospel, that doing all these good things that we do, that sometimes we put more stock in than the truth of the gospel. Maybe it's our personal preferences. Maybe it's our things that are just personal convictions that are just simply that. They don't have anything to do with the gospel. And we somehow think that if I do this or this or this, then that's truly what's going to make me justified in your eyes. Father, bring to light what those things are right now in our lives, because we don't want to put our faith in anything else but you for our salvation. We don't want to say that we're justified any other way than through the blood of Jesus Christ. So Lord, would you bring those to light in our minds right now so that we can deal with it? Beyond that, Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that does not know you personally, that you would open their eyes, open their heart to their need for you. I pray that they would call upon your name today to be saved. Father, if there's another decision, Lord, we just open ourselves up to you right now to have your way in us and invite you into our lives. And Father, we just ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we ask you to be glorified now in Jesus' name.